Oh, he was swinging it.
No, it was up, so.
It was up.
I had to try and, you know, swing it down to where I could get my feet on the ground.
Or roll out.
Yep.
Hey Gary, when are they gonna start paving the boatyard then?
Travis, but, or I mean,
excuse me, y'all think?
I.
They all work the same.
No, no, no.
We have everything turned into OEM and they're still reviewing.
Oh, still reviewing, yeah.
So it's, I'm expecting it to come, they won't really, they don't really provide us great updates when it comes to this, but, they keep saying it's under review. We've answered all the questions that they have, so I would imagine soon we should, they should say, yes, you have the money and then we can put it out to bid.
Maybe next summer, maybe or something.
I really hope so.
Yeah.
Richard, it's 2:00, but Larry is not here. Will we wait until he gets here?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, we need another person.
Yep.
Flood is good up north by the Coquille River and, just before the Wildcat Park, before you come into Coos Bay. That whole road's closed right now. 2-3 feet of river running over the top of the road.
Oh.
Now that's,
There's Larry.
The Salmon Creek, I don't know what name, but it comes in right there.
It's flooded bad.
How about that?
Oh, I didn't know it was automatic door, but that's pretty cool.
All right, Richard, since Larry is here now, you can start the meeting whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm spending another $2,000 and I'm done.
She spent some cash. Yeah, it was a big day. Well, body utilities too, yeah.
Oh, I was wrong. I'm spending almost $4,000.
Supposed to read it before you sign? You gotta be kidding.
I do.
That's good.
Okay. Okay, we will call the meeting to order. This is a regular meeting of the Port of Brookings Harbor Commission, Wednesday, January 17, 2024. Join me in the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, Danielle.
Larry.
Here.
Sharon.
Here.
Richard.
Here.
Joe and Daniel are absent.
Okay, are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
Anybody need to declare a potential conflict of interest?
No.
No.
Okay, entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda as submitted.
Second.
A motion and second, Danielle.
Larry.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. Looking for a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the regular commissioner meeting Wednesday, December 20th.
Motion to approve the minutes of the December 20th meeting.
Second.
Motion and second, Danielle.
Larry.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. I have no public comments before me. Are you aware of any, Daniel?
I did not receive any public comments.
Okay. That moves us to the management and financial reports.
Okay. From the RV park, beach walkway blocks will be installed periodically throughout the winter. When the port receives weather notices impacting beaches, we will post a notice on our website, on our port website and our beachfront RV park website. The blocks will be removed after the advisories are lifted. Late December storms brought high surf coupled with high tides that led to some overtopping at the RV park. Walkway and drive aisles were impacted by the storm surge. The seawall along with walkway continues to work and has minimized overtopping significantly. After high tide passed, port staff closed the RV park for about 2.5 hours while things were cleaned up. We also replaced a water heater at the RV park showers. In the marina, dock walks and repairs were frequent due to storm surge. All pedestals were wiped down to remove moss. New dock numbers have been ordered for pedestals and metal plates with dock numbers to go on the docks. Customer reported that there was no power at a slip on end dock. After further investigation, we found that the main electrical cord that provides power to half the pedestals was damaged and not supplying the proper voltage. A new cord is on order and is expected to be installed in the second week of January, which should be installed next week. Telehandler work, we completed 5 jobs with a total of 61 for the year. Travel lift haulouts, we did 4 with a total of 60 for the year. Commercial receiving dock, all hoists are operational. We did send out letters to all the receiving docks to let them know that landing totals were due by January 31st. Commercial retail building, staff replaced decking at the north end of the boardwalk. The handrail will be rebuilt when material arrives. When all the work is completed, the temporary fence will be removed and the boardwalk will reopen. We will continue to monitor the shoring and document the movement. One new drain was added by the men's bathroom and retail. This was to prevent puddles in the walk area. New sewer pumps will be ordered soon due to a variety of clothing and other objects that are flushed. We found a better pump, something that will handle a shirt or a towel or pants or whatever seems to make it down our toilets. Maintenance crew completed 115 work orders for the month of December. We completed 1,298 work orders for 2023. Office staff had 21 mortgage renewals. FEMA builder completed clamshell dredging. The total amount removed was 2,116 cubic yards. The dredge generator was shipped from Florida and is expected to arrive in mid-January, which we did receive on Friday of last week. Our dredge is also shipped from Italy and is expected to arrive the third week of February. A representative from Dragflow will be here when it arrives and will assist in assembling and training. And that's scheduled for February 19th. Wastewater treatment plant, phase 2 funding is still under review. RFP is nearing completion from an engineering standpoint. The NPDES permit is still under review from DEQ. Pacific Seafood is still in deliberations with DEQ on permitting standards for processors. They would like to finish up with DEQ and then talk to us about matching funds in February.
Okay.
And then I went ahead and put on some 2023 end of year summary board meetings. We had 12 regular meetings, 7 special meetings, and 2 budget meetings, and 8 executive sessions. 137 items were discussed, 80 items were approved by motions, two tabled motions, and 11 resolutions. And I'm not going to go through the port achievements, but they are all listed here for some of our bigger achievements throughout the year.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would I'd compliment you on that. That's 32 pretty big things.
Yeah, we had a big year.
We're enumerated. Also, this commission team review I thought was really great. That's going to make people coming behind us lives a lot easier if you can find out something that you can reference that. So. Good.
I will report also that the gangway at the on the jetty is removed along with the docks. Something we completed this month, but I figured I'd throw that in there. Any other questions?
Travis, the one thing that you didn't talk about lighting was in the RV park. I've noticed there's so many of those pedestals don't light.
I think it's because the guests, when they're leaving, they're shutting the breakers off.
Oh.
Those lights all have their individual breakers, and some people leave them all on, and some people turn them all off when they leave. So we are keeping up on them. We have them go through and check all the dock lights, too. And where there's street lights, too, the street lights will interfere with the photo cells and make them not turn on as well if it's too bright. So there's that, or the breakers can be shut off. But as far as I know, we've gone through all of them and they all should be working. It's just a matter of a breaker.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Are you ready for my report?
Yes.
Port maintenance discussed ladder safety. We only had 2 incidences that happened in the month of December, which brought our year total to 51. There was 24 security issues for the month of December, which brought our year total to 416. Monthly inspections were completed for our stormwater pollution control plan. We also did our 4th of 4 testing, that stormwater testing that is required. And then Travis talked about the storm. Is there any questions?
Yeah, I have one concerning the security cameras at the port lot back in 2021, I think it was. Every time there's an event, there's a break-in or some vandalism of some sort, or someone breaking the law, every time we reflect on the camera to identify these folks, the port comes out with a big fat egg, meaning that, we don't know who it was, the cameras weren't working or something wasn't in focus, we couldn't use this as evidence. So I would like to ask the port, since he spent a lot of money on these cameras, they should work 100% of the time. And if there's any adjustment that needs to be done to these cameras to protect the citizens on port property, I think it's important that, whatever it takes to readjust the cameras so it catches every law-breaking citizen that's doing something in the port. So we do have that on file, but that's all I got to say about this one. So I don't know if there is anything you can do, but there might be some suggestions from the people you bought it from. But yeah, we can really, you can rotate cameras, you can focus them, we can come out and service them, and it's just about time, I think.
Our cameras, we have 64 acres of port property here. Our system that we bought doesn't even have enough to handle all of it. We would have to hire somebody full-time to keep up with the amount of people that come and say, I broke it, somebody broke into my car, something happened. Most of it needs to, I would say, those cameras are there, we're doing the best we can, they're in the most significant spot that has power already. Other locations throughout the port, they don't have power. It will take significant infrastructure upgrades just to provide those cameras. The more cameras we get, the more we have to watch. Danielle with the cameras that we already have, which the cameras do help us a lot. We see a lot. We solve a lot of problems with those cameras. But we also have to be cautious about how much port time we're spending reviewing cameras. Really for the negligence of a lot of people, not locking their stuff up, not doing what they're supposed to. We do everything that we possibly can, but to that avail, I would say, people need to make sure that they're locking their own things, and we will do the best that we can to monitor everything we can. But as far as being able to catch every single thing that happens down here, we don't have that bandwidth to catch everything. So
can I note that, the rain can also affect the camera. I mean, we'll be able to see anything for hours.
We are definitely doing the best we can with what we got right now.
Okay, so get this straight. Cameras, you're saying you've got working hours in the office can't account for people doing research on the cameras. Cameras have, what do you have, a 3-month reflection. So if you pick a date, you can pick that date and go through that go through that whole day looking for this. Now, I understand that's not a whole lot of hours for anyone in your office to do, but also understand that ACE is picking up the slack too, ACE Security out here. What the camera misses, which is a lot, ACE has to do, I don't think they can keep up with it. Because, like you said, there's a lot of property here.
I think that the statement in the report is misleading because you do catch most things. There are a few things that we don't catch on the camera. There have been some incidents we haven't caught, but that's not to imply we don't catch any of them. Like you said, we catch a lot of stuff. And we have turned footage over to the sheriff's department on occasion for some things. So, you know, if I had to make a decision what to do at my house, I'd put up a camera where I thought I was going to need it most, and that's about all you can do, short of an extravagant system, which I don't think we can afford, nor would I want to, I don't think. But, okay, anyway.
Thanks for hearing me, Jeff.
Any other questions about the safety, security, financial, or environmental report?
No.
Okay, here's the financial summary.
All right, so for the month ending December 2023, the court has an unrestricted cash and equivalent total of $739,487, a restricted cash and equivalent totaling $246,838, bringing our total checking and savings to $986,325. Our total revenue for all funds in December was $860,154, with our expenses at $526,664. That left our net income for December at $333,490. All of our program revenues were positive in the month of December. Our total income at this time for all funds is 23.3%, with general fund revenues at 45.6%. Our total expenditures for all funds is at 24.2%, with our general fund expenditures at 46.3%. We did get several large reimbursements from our projects in the month of December, which made things balance out really nicely. We did also pay for the remainder of our dredge and the remainder of our generator. I did also submit our fourth quarter IFA payment in the month of December.
Well, gratified to see a positive cash flow.
Yeah.
It had been a while.
It makes this report a lot easier to read when it's positive.
But now we're getting all the money back.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Things are coming back. On the second page, it does show that all of our, what we've got out, what we've gotten back. Right now we're still waiting for a total of $108,291 that has been submitted. And then that'll change as we submit more, but we're doing pretty well getting things back.
So I actually have a question.
Okay.
About the profit loss statement.
Okay.
I see on there a budget item, 10-430, which is landing fees.
Yes.
That's the landing fee we're now taking in for across the
it line. Is. And the first payments are due January 31st, so we should see that hopefully bump up through grad season.
Okay. Fine. I went looking for it and I found it.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the management report.
Motion to approve the management report.
Okay, Danielle, we have a motion and second.
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. That brings us to action item A, the budget officer.
Hey, it is back to that time. April Walker, office manager, was appointed for fiscal year 2023-24. Attached is a budget calendar for meeting dates, notification, and submitting as required. The budget committee consists of 5 board members and 5 selected positions filled by the Board of Commissioners. Okay. The budget committee has 2 vacancies. The port is currently advertising applications to fill the vacancies. So far, the port has received 1 application. We are also recommending that we appoint April Walker as the budget officer for 24-25. And like I said, the calendar is attached with the selected meeting dates that we're kind of trying to aim for. Any questions? April definitely wants it.
I'm ready for this, April.
That was going to be my question, but I wasn't going to even ask her.
I'll make a motion. A motion to approve April Blockley as the budget officer for fiscal year 2024-2025.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Danielle.
Larry.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Seems like you just did.
I know, I did. I feel like I did.
Or maybe I should extend my sympathy. Okay, that brings us to action item B, resolution 2024-01, authorizing an intergovernmental agreement with Perry County.
Okay, so this is in regards to the 84-inch culvert located down by the boatyard. We've talked about this a lot in the last previous meeting. The board approved and signed the IGA. This is the IGA signed and approved, but we got to receive it back from the county commissioners and signed by all of them. So now we're just moving to a resolution to kind of firm this up.
Great.
We all commented in here several times that we saw the county down there slinging that box out. So apparently the IGA is working.
Working very well. The county also contacted me, and they will be sending me weekly reports of what they are doing. It's a really good thing. They were here less than a month ago and cleaned that out, and they took over 80 cubic yards out of that sediment basin yesterday. So it's helping us, and on the long term, it's helping them to keep up on it and prevent this from happening. So it's nice to see that they're taking good attention to it and taking it seriously.
And I'm glad they're contacting you, because we are having a lot of storm events right now. And
yes.
With the mud that came down the hill, I mean, it proves there's stuff coming our way.
Yes.
Who's running the road shop up there now, do you know? Who's the roadmaster?
They don't have a roadmaster. The director of operations is running it, Mr. Fitzgerald.
He's got four positions.
They do have Alan Avery, I believe is his last name. He's kind of their lead guy, and I talk a lot with him, but the road crew seems to be doing really good, too. So
they're working with you, Travis?
Yeah, they came down with the other incident that happened. They came down, the county, Five R Construction, the water district, we were all out there until 9:30 at night trying to unplug that thing and back the next day to keep doing more. So, you know, the help is there. People are very responsive when we call and we say we need help. So it's very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments or questions?
I just want to make a comment. I think this is huge for the port. It's been a long time coming, and I think it's going to be a big benefit for us, big help. I just want to acknowledge that.
Okay, you're out. Action.
Motion to approve resolution 2024-01 authorizing intergovernmental agreement with Curry County.
Second.
So motion and second. Danielle.
Larry.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. And we'll just take another dance with bureaucracy. This is the action item C, the OEM and signature approval.
So OEM and FEMA is now requiring commissioner's signature on all submitted timesheets that include any hours worked by the port manager. Anything that has my name on it, I cannot sign for it to verify the hours. Even if we have multiple employees behind it, they want commissioner approval. So this approval will allow any commissioners to review and sign timesheets for submitted to FEMA. So FEMA said that this is new that they're doing. It's not new rule. They're enforcing the rule that they have, and they are currently working on a CAN document that when these projects start that we bring to boards will sign to be able to verify timesheets in the future. But for right now, they don't have that done, so this is going to suffice for now.
Were this not a federal agency, I would refuse to do that. Federal law supersedes state law, so we're left with no choice here. But the reason that I'm concerned about this is crossing the line into operations. And that's not our role. But now we're being forced into that role. I understand the rationale behind it. I think I see it. But like I said, if this was a state agency, the state, I'd call them. What I'm doing for those reasons. But I don't see in this case that we have much choice.
I asked many questions about this, and we don't have a choice if we're going to include me on our timesheets.
Well, certainly if you work on a federal project, you ought to get paid, so we got to get paid for it. So. Okay. Well, I just make that comment.
And this is just for FEMA work?
Just for the FEMA work for the dredging project for timesheets and hours worked.
Okay.
We keep track of them. We write down every day what we do, how many hours. So it's pretty easy to review. But my argument was you're asking somebody to verify that wasn't there. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well,
this is what they want.
And who said? People have no authority to do it in the first place. anyway, having said that, is there going to take action here?
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Motion to approve Richard Heath, Joe Spears, Sharon Hartung, Larry Jonas, Daniel Frazier to certify and sign any fourth account summary report under DR-4432. DW-189, that includes the court manager's time.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Tricky.
Brings us to information item A, the court economic impact study.
So a while back, Business Oregon and the University of Oregon kind of joined up to do a port economic impact study. So they gathered data from all the ports and they put this out, something like this for each port. I wanted you guys to see it. However, after reviewing this and then also going to OPPA, looking at what some of the other ports had. Not everybody's super thrilled on the results being accurate. So it is what it is. We didn't pay any money for this, but many ports have been, at the last OPPA meeting I was in, stated that they weren't exactly correct, you know, in some of their aspects. So I know Business Oregon was going to look at tackling this a different way and getting us something else at some point. But for right now, this is the summary that they put out that can or cannot be used for whatever we need to.
I was a little surprised at the average salary. I would think it would be higher than that.
It is.
I would think so. The other statement in there, and I've heard this many times, that I'm not sure it's accurate, is that we are the busiest port in Oregon. I'm not sure I would agree with that. But.
See, and this competitive advantages, a lot of this was taken off from our strategic plan that was done back in 2015, I believe, 14, 15. So they stole some of that language, which I agree, I'm not super convinced that that data is accurate.
We're certainly up there, but I don't think we trump Newport.
Right.
I think they're the big dog in this one.
And I'm hoping, so the our strategic business plan, kind of the major overhaul of it, we'll do next year. It's going to cost some money to do it, but I'm hoping to refresh these numbers and use a different company that is a little bit better at it. I don't want to say that too bad, but I think that the data can be a little more accurate.
I like the concept. I thought that fact sheet was neat, a little bit accurate. I mean, it does show the place that the portholes in the community in terms of putting revenue out into town and the number of jobs associated directly with this. I thought that was all pretty cool.
Yeah.
Does this benefit the port in any way? I mean, can you guys use this in financing budget terms? Is it a value to the port?
this particular document, I don't think I would use for too much, but, you know, it may be used on our future strategic business plan, be able to pull this or use some of this and, you know, dig in a little bit deeper than what they probably did, and like I said, try and get us better numbers. It's something. It's just, like I said, I don't agree with all the data that I put out to say that that's what the Port of Brookings is doing.
Makes us look good, makes you guys look good.
It does, and I think, you know, as things improve and, you know, this was the first one that I've seen Business Oregon go with University of Oregon to do anything like this. So I think over time, you know, processing what was good, what was bad, and making some changes, I think they'll do better in the future.
You know, one piece of data I'd like to have somebody look at sometime, or I'd like to see, is the, call it the sphere of influence of the ports. You know, our footprint is pretty big, but we certainly have a lot of people from the Valley, from Klamath Falls, from California, coming here. So what the area we service is pretty big. Same thing with Newport and Coos Bay. There's a lot of people coming west to use the port. So, you know, even though your port district is here, your customer base, I guess, is here. It's pretty big. I even thought of a way to do that, but it takes somebody with a lot of time. You know, we have on our salmon landing requirements, we have to show the port in which we land them. And if you could couple that with OVFW data based on zip codes and look at the number of zip codes that we port 17, you could come up with a fair idea, but I don't know who would do that. But, you know, that's just, sorry, my thought. Information item E, FEMA PW-189 dredging update.
Okay, so Gary and I put this together and just kind of wanted to go through it and just give an overall update of where FEMA is. FEMA approves removing 38,000 cubic yards of soil and sediment from Basin 1 and 2 from storm damage in 2019. With a budget of $2,447,071.97. Corps of Engineers joint permit application, which we call the JPA, was approved in 2022 for 5 years of dredging. The JPA renewal will be required for dredging in 2028. The Department of State Lands, however, their dredge permit must be renewed every year. Procurement of the dredging equipment was finished in August of 2023. Delivery of equipment is now scheduled for February. The generator is scheduled to arrive in January. Once the dredge arrives, it will be assembled, and then training on the dredging will begin immediately afterwards. Sediment basin construction started in August of 2023. Concrete blocks were used for the outer walls. Much of the construction was finished in October of 2023. 3,250 feet of 8-inch HDPE pipe was purchased and delivered in late October of 2023. The pipe is used for transporting dredge spoils to the sediment basin for water separation and soil sediment removal. The pipe was fused in sections with flanges for easier handling and for sediment and for connections to the dredge. Pipe fusion welding and placement of the pipe was completed in November of 2023. Clamshell dredging started in December of 2023, clamshell dredging occurred in Basin 2 at the travel lift ramp and towards the west bank, which included the sediment pile in front of the 84-inch culvert. Approximately 2,100 cubic yards were removed. The spoil will be removed once it dries out. And I did talk to the county about that, and I'm guessing we asked that it be removed in February, but I'm going to give them closer to March. So much rain to get it to dry out a little bit more. If the port expends more than $750,000 in federal funds per fiscal year, a single organized wide audit must be conducted with provisions of OMB Circular A3. Audits must be performed in accordance with generally accepted government auditing standards by an independent auditor. Expenditures this fiscal year to date as of 12/31/23 is $781,225. a special audit will be required. We put down the amount and the description of each part of the work where we're at. We have a remaining budget of $1,652,876.61. The port is anticipating dredging with the new dredge in February. The latest the port can dredge is March 14, 2024 for this season. We will begin dredging again in October of 2024. So that kind of just lays out where we were to start to where we are right now. The dredge is scheduled, the trainer is supposed to be here February 19th to start putting all that together and hopefully get, you know, just under a month of dredging under our belt, which is going to help us understand where we're going to be at time, length of time that we're going to have, and hopefully get an estimated how much material we're actually going to remove for that, you know, on a given day or a given week.
Who has to pay for this audit? Do we have to pay for that? Is there somebody around that can do that kind of audit?
So
I have started the search for an auditor for our regular budget for this year. Haven't come across any yet that are available. Several of the firms that contacted are either too far away, too short of staff, and or too busy to take on any new clients. So I yesterday found a new list with about 20 pages of phone numbers and names that I'm going to start calling through, probably enlist some help from the office staff to make some phone calls and try to find somebody that can do this.
Yeah, because that sounds to me like that's a very specific spot of standard that's probably different than others.
Yes. So we'll need an auditor for this, and then I'm still on the search for a new one for our own budget audit here.
So. I haven't looked into it, but I'm sure FEMA money, our dredge money, will pay for an auditor to audit that.
I'm just honestly surprised they don't have their own auditor that come and do it. I guess I can see the scope would be pretty tough nationwide.
I haven't looked into it either, but I would think that the fees would be covered under our administration budget for FEMA to be reimbursed.
Okay.
Yeah, Travis, a comment on the clamshell dredging. Where you have it all dredged out and it's in front of a culvert. Did you say, is the port doing anything to protect the settlement from going back down the culvert back into the port? As it rains, it's got a runoff. What you're dredging in the stockpile will eventually find its way back to the culvert and back into the basin. Is that how that would work?
Yes. I'm not sure I understand your question. We set up hay bales and you know, when the rain comes, it's not just washing right back down in. We have hay bales. We only have one drain currently in our boatyard altogether, which is sandbagged and has hay bales in front of it to stop any sediment that is coming. But there's not I don't have a concern of that material going back. The concern of what comes back is the maintenance of the culvert ahead of us and anything that comes down.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
That was coffee stand.
So I kind of wanted to, after our meeting last month, the decision that was made from the board, I relayed that to Mr. Hazen. He has opted to keep his lease, keep it in place, and keep operating through the remainder of his lease. He does plan to start opening it, I believe, on March 1st again. We're still going to go down what we discussed and find a food cart agreement and kind of attack that a little bit differently. Danielle's been working on it. We've been looking at other cities, counties, other places that have agreements already in place and try and modify those to fit what we're doing. He's going to ultimately finish out his lease, which goes till August,
September,
I believe. And by then we will present it to you guys, but it's just going to give us a little more time to put together an agreement that will be in place after his lease ends.
Okay.
Does he have an option to renew that existing lease?
He does.
There is an option to renew.
The current lease expires September 20th, and I know there was an option to renew written to it. I don't know what the...
For one more year,
I think.
So?
Oh, from the back of the memory, I think it's a year.
I'm pretty sure it's a year. I don't have the lease exactly,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. I thought there was.
Fine. I just wanted to let you know that that's the decision that they ended up making on that.
Good. And okay. He is current on his lease. He's not falling behind. He's been maintaining his payments.
So. All right. That brings us to information item D, the boat yard shop layout.
Okay. In December 20th, the regular meeting of the board was warned that the layout of the building may be moved due to electrical lines. After we had it, the electrical lines located, the electrical lines are behind the shop. They're farther back than I anticipated, so the buildings will get moved out further. I put in the original layout that we had. And then this new one has the red line that is the current electrical line.
Oh.
And then we also were looking at, you'll see kind of in the green on the right-hand side of the new one, these are two more buildings that are 25 by 40 or 140 by 60 that would fit right there. After talking to Kenny at the boat shop, trying to plan in what he kind of might be anticipating, he's told me that he would prefer to lease a smaller building, two smaller buildings, rather than having one bigger building, which for us is much easier to budget for, build, and lease in the event that he's not there anymore. So the new layout will consist of five 25 by 40 shop buildings in that area that will house our current tenants.
Okay, that answers. When I looked at the drawing you had, I thought, oh, we moved that big building out by the street. That's just a reference to what used to be there. Is that what that is?
It was kind of just something else that we put in there for reference. We're not going to put a building over here right now. We're going to be focusing on these five buildings right here. The yellow in the middle is the part that the Oceanside Suites owns. Or is leasing for their stuff, and that's still a possibility when it comes to tearing down that boatyard building that we may keep it there because it's still in pretty good shape. So that's still a potential. One other change that we made is our FEMA building that we purchased. We already purchased. It's on its way. We're getting our engineering done right now. I want to move it out by this corner. I guess what would it be, the northwest corner of the boatyard. It's going to keep our FEMA stuff and our equipment kind of away from the leased areas. It'll give us a little bit more room out in front to store any extra dredge pipe, and we will be able to maximize these five buildings for leasable buildings and keeping our FEMA building away from it. So if there's any critiques or feedback on that, I'm anxious to hear them, but the FEMA building I opted to keep farther away from our tenants than to have us right in the middle of possible tenants.
Plus it's closer to the water.
It's closer to the water, and like I said, overall I think it'll work out better for us. We can kind of eventually add some sort of a lean-to and be able to store some other equipment. We store the RV park firewood over there in that corner too. So kind of give us a building and a place to kind of put some of our stuff around, keep it cleaned up and looking nice.
That building is going to be the same as the other buildings,
yep.
Correct? So that will give you the opportunity to see how well we can put them together to move forward.
Right. Our FEMA building, the port staff will build that one, and we're going to see how it goes. And if we can get it up, get it built in a reasonable amount of time with the staff we have, then we will continue on budgeting for probably two buildings a year and start getting these buildings built so we can get the tenants out of this building and eventually demo that building.
Right here? Is that this one right here on the outside?
That's just there for reference of a 40 by 60.
So you're talking about out of here then?
The orange one up on the top there?
Oh, up way up here.
That's where I want to put the port FEMA building. That's going to house all our dredge equipment. This one over here is just kind of, it was put in there for reference of what a 40 by 60 building is and another possible location, possibly in the future. But our main focus is getting our FEMA one built and then tackling these five and getting our current tenants out of that boatyard building.
So that way you'll have a pavement to drive in and out of that then, right?
Yeah.
For the boat storage area or the boat. The travel lift is going to go into that then?
The travel lift, that will be down the road a little bit, that we want to use a canvas top, big top shelter, utilize our Connex boxes to put our travel
lift. Where would you want to put that in at?
Right where the travel lift at, right there in the middle. You see the kind of the purple line where the travel lift would sit. That's where that cover would sit.
Okay. I just thinking, well, this travel lift travels on that new pavement. That would be nice.
Yeah, everything that we're planning on doing, that the boats, the travel lift, the fronts of all these buildings that we're going to have, if asphalt will meet the front of them. So it should tie them together really nice. You should be able to use forklifts in and out of them without potholes. They should all work out together.
I think the notion of building in yourself is a good idea, because I know the price of pole building in Lapine has doubled. I built mine in 2018 for $45,000,
are going for about $90,000 for the labor and cost that contractors are getting for putting these things up have significantly gone up. So as much as we can do in-house for labor of the port, using port labor, the better off we'll be.
Okay. Brings us to Commissioner's comments. I was just comment that it's early yet, but we're now starting down the slippery slope of salmon season, and there is a lot going on this year. We have a Sacramento work group that's working on the escapement standards for the Sacramento River, which has a great impact on what we're going to be able to do. There's another work group that's, these are all council work groups, another one working on the Klamath River. To determine what escapement's got to happen there. I don't know if you saw it today, but they blew the plug out of J.C. Boyle Dam today. So that's they opened the gated iron gate Monday, I think, or maybe Friday. And J.C. Boyle, they blew a hole in it, so it's now draining. And in about another month, they'll blow Kopco 1, and that'll be the 3 dams all draining, ready to tear down the sun. So that ship had left port. To a great surprise of everybody. I never thought I'd live long enough to see that happen, but here it is. So, but we'll see how that's going to affect our family opportunities.
So I have one other update regarding the culvert that plugged up down by the boatyard shop. I'm sure if you guys drove by, you saw the river running across the road. That was due to a landslide up by Driftwood mobile home park. Like I said, it came down to the culvert that's right behind Ocean Suites. It came down to the middle of their driveway and plugged right there. It plugged like 30, 40 feet of culvert to where it was overflowing through the road. The owners of Driftwood, I talked to one of them today to kind of discuss that we received a lot of material from that inside the port in that corner, in that southeast corner, from all of this going on, and I expect there to be more. So I contacted Billiter. I contacted those owners. We are going to use Billiter to continue dredging more while it's there. All the rock that came out of there is anywhere from 2 to 8 inch rock that's down there. So we're going to have them remove that plus a little bit more, which the material will all be counted towards our dredge project. And after speaking with the owners, they will be responsible for hauling that material off. So we're going to get more dredging done. You'll see the crane set up in the parking lot over there. They'll be swinging into dump trucks, dumping it in the same pile that we have. once that material dries out, Fibar Excavation, who's doing the work for Driftwood, will then come down and haul that material off and bill to Driftwood through that way.
So you said that counts against our 38,000 cubic yards?
We're going to have them take out a little bit more, but the amount that that they're going to be responsible for, still kind of yet to be determined. I haven't seen the tide go out, and I haven't been out there in our boat with to survey any points to see exactly how much did come in, but I expect there's at least 200 yards probably sitting there that came in.
You want to talk about the boat ramp?
The boat ramp is another one that it's eroding at a high rate of speed where the Zola's is, where the bank had been concrete slurry, is now got a pretty good size hole where the water has now ripped that out and starting to pull more material out. On the jetty side, it keeps eating at the bank. It keeps pulling the material down across the launch ramp. We just removed 20 yards of rock off from that. Jack will be here next week to assess the whole situation that we have going on and help us come up with a plan that we can fix this erosion from going on. But at the rate it's going right now, we're going to be doing something sooner than later, so we still have a parking lot and Zola left.
Well, we have where the walkway is down with the courtesy dock, that's getting close to that foundation of that.
Yeah, it just keeps pulling it down. The banks are eroding to where the water lines and the sewer line that run the sanitizers that are down there, the electrical, it just keeps shaving off at the bank and getting farther and farther towards the parking lot. So my guess is it'll be some sort of concrete footing, stem walls, and more concrete slurry on the banks, both sides, to help protect it. But I'll have more to come on that, but it's going to be the next place that we really need to address before any of our other banks. I know there's lots of other banks and slopes that need repaired, but we got to make sure our launch ramp stays open and usable.
Yeah, that was a pretty sick. I went down and looked at it after you talked to me about it, and I thought, oh my goodness. That thing's always bled rock off of it, but nothing like that.
No, it was some of the tides that we've had, the big tides. I mean, those waves are coming almost all the way up to the top of the parking lot, within a couple of feet from breaking out onto the top of the parking lot. So we've had some extreme weather events that have not completely destroyed things, but is wreaking havoc on what we got out there. So just another thing we're going to have to make a plan to fix it.
More king tides are coming, they say.
But we're waiting for hazard mitigation. It's in our hazard, that area is also called out in our hazard mitigation plan. So once we talk with Jack, Gary, and I will devise the best plan, the least cost to us, to get that done.
Okay. Back to the landslide at Driftwood Park. You said that 5R is going to haul it away, and they're going to be responsible for the cost of hauling that away. Is there a way to make them responsible? I mean, the slide happened on their property, and ultimately that material ended up in our port, and we're not having to dredge their material out of our port.
I have looked at this as with the place that we need to dredge a lot along the same lines as the county, that the equipment here, we have funding. The great thing about it is we have funding. And any material that crane pulls out is material that's counted towards our project. Could we go full boat towards them? I guess I think we can. Right now, I think it's the best alternative for us going forward. If we didn't have FEMA money and we didn't have a crane here, I think we'd be looking at a different animal at this point. But being that we do, I'm kind of electing to share some of this cost, you know, make them responsible for some of it, know that they are going to be responsible for some of it, and let's pull the material out with the crane that is already here.
Okay. Any other comments?
No.
All right. Our next regular meeting will be Wednesday, February 21st, 2024 at 2 o'clock in this room. And with that, we are adjourned.
Goodbye.
Where's Jack at on buying a